The event really came from a want that I had many years ago, which is to bring national level education and marketing to the community level. DESTACON really started in a community focus like that. And what I love about it the most, you're going to see some fresh new faces, some really brilliant minds in tourism that you wouldn't see at other conferences.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. We've got a really fun show for you today, and we're going to be previewing an event that I'm very excited for. And I've got the founder of that event, Jennifer Barbie, on with me today. And Jennifer, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Super excited.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got a fun conversation to have today, but I know that I've got a few things that I need to mention before we dive in so that my producers don't kill me here. We're trying in 2023 to get a little bit more organized in how I start the show. So let's start there. I want to make sure that everybody that's listening knows that you can connect with our show on social media. On Instagram, it's @destination_pod. Same thing on TikTok and the same thing on Twitter, @destination_pod. And then if you want to look us up on YouTube, just search the Destination Marketing Podcast on YouTube. And then we have a LinkedIn group that we're going to be getting a little bit more active in this year called Destination Marketers. If you haven't joined that, we've got over 200 members and counting, and I think it'll be a fun place to get some content this year. And then, of course, if you enjoy the show, which I assume if you're here and you've been here this long, you enjoy the show, please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you listen to this show. So there we go. I think I covered everything. And Jennifer, I think we can get started.
Sounds great. Let's go.
Awesome. So Jennifer, you've listened to the show. You're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think first of all, I need to ask you a couple of the questions I like to ask everybody that comes on. So what is your dream destination, Jen? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
That is such a good question. And the thing with me is I'm one of those true destination marketers that every place I go, it could be Paducah to London. I fall in love with all of them. But I'd say my dream destination has to be Egypt. I minored in Egyptology. I think I've got a little bit of anthropology and archaeology in my blood. So definitely Egypt for me.
Oh, and you haven't been yet.
I have not been. No. No, I abandoned that when I found out that archaeologists have to get their nails dirty. And I'm a Texas girl, so now I just want to tour it.
You chose between the nails and the archaeology. I think you probably made the safer choice.
I think I probably did.
Well, so tell me about this, because obviously if you minored in, and did you say Egyptology?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you minored in that means you've been interested in Egypt for a very long time. What was it that made you have that early attraction to Egypt?
It was as far away from a little country town in Texas as I could get. Just growing up in a super rural town, you know, you have that dreams of big life, big travel. So I guess it landed me in the travel industry. But for me, it was the most exotic, most different type of culture to really get into. And that was always something of mine that I was interested in is cultures and the way people are and the way they live and all their habits. That's always been super entertaining to me.
Okay, interesting. So you were just like, what's the most exotic place I can think of? Let's study that and maybe go there someday.
Pretty much. Yep.
How cool. Okay. What about a travel memory that you have that might really stand out to you?
Oh my gosh. Lots of road travel I took growing up. So, you know, it was always a treat when the family got to go to Florida. Disney World the first time was like huge. But I would say just in my adult life, especially coming out of growing up in such a rural area, just learning what travel did and how it changed me, I would say London was probably one of the most interesting pieces to me. Again, because of that history component in there. And you're right there with just the stories you've heard and the fables. And it's just, that was just an amazing trip.
You mentioned that travel changed you. And I would say the fact that you've based your career around it would be evidence of that. But how would you say that trip to London changed you?
I would say it really just kind of opened up my mind even a little bit more with that physical portion of history and seeing it there and the way people live and they do have different cultures. Again, just opened my mind more to new experiences for myself and my own family.
Great. And when did you go?
My first trip to London was 2004, I believe. That's when I was working with the U.S. Department of Commerce on their very first inbound campaign for tourism. So we were working with Saatchi & Saatchi, an ad agency over there. And got to do the whole London experience. It was very big deal for me.
Oh man. And you mentioned that was the first time. So how many times have you been back?
I've been 4 times.
Oh, wow. Good for you. That is great that you're able to go to a place you love that much that many times. Well, Jen, I'd love to have you give us the overview of kind of your story. You mentioned a small town in Texas, and I'm wondering what the name of that town is. And then, you know, what led you to where you are today?
So I was born and raised in Mount Pleasant, Texas, which is in East Texas. And it is a gorgeous, beautiful, pastoral, you know, all-American kind of city type place. But, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. So just, you know, by nature, I'm a little bit of a rebel, a little bit of, you know, what else goes on there. So I was always seeking the next adventure, the next thing, and also always been a little bit of a geek. I was super lucky. My first computer was a TRS-80 color computer in 1984. So from fourth grade on, you know, that was always kind of a little bit of a geeky passion of mine. So kind of taught myself how to code. Basic to start with. And then, you know, right around the time I was getting into college was when the internet came out. And so I taught myself how to build websites. That's how I got recruited into an ad agency to build websites. And actually, it was not the only person, but I was on the team for the very first Visit Las Vegas website.
No way.
Yeah. So that's how I got started. So I actually didn't finish my sheepskin in college. I just went straight into advertising and destinations. And that's been 32 years this year. And I've done, you know, mostly digital consulting, futurism, innovation. That's kind of where I've kind of stuck in there. Cause I'm really good, as I found out when no one wanted to buy a website in 1999, that I'm really good at, you know, pushing new ideas for people to adopt.
Yeah. Well, and I think that probably gives us a pretty good foundation of how you ended up creating this event. And I love the way you describe it. You say that this event is for disruptors, mm-hmm. you know, disruptors in the destination marketing industry. And, you know, the fact that you've been in the industry for so long, you've seen so much. Why the term disruptors? And what is this event, this Desticon event that you have going? And it's year one of hopefully many years of this event.
Absolutely. So for me, the whole disruptor thing is kind of, you know, my tribe, my vibe on that, which is, you know, pushing the envelope a little bit, but being really responsible and making strategic decisions. So that's kind of where the disruptor came from. And the event really came from a want that I had many years ago, pre-pandemic, pre-COVID, which is to bring national level education and marketing down to the community level, down to, you know, Joe's coffee shop even, because they can't afford to do these large conferences and travel across the place. So Desticon really started in a community focus like that. And then as we found out more and more people that couldn't necessarily travel in person to get there, but wanted access to the information, we decided to do the thing that we do, which is we pivot, we create a virtual experience, which is what next week will be about. And what I love about it the most is not even just the community aspect, is you're going to see some fresh new faces, some really brilliant minds in tourism that you wouldn't see at other conferences.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because my next question was, we have a lot of conferences in this industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, you know, how will Desticon be different from every state tourism conference that we go to, and the e-tourism summits, and the you know, the Destinations International conferences, and they all have wonderful education, wonderful speakers, and you know, there's a lot of great things about the conferences in our industry. Why should someone attend Desticon specifically?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit back what I said there. I think we've done a really good job at mining some talent that's out there that people may not have been part of. We've done a really good job of blending some industry things going on there too with the short-term rentals. We have a lot of those professionals coming in. So I think we've gotten a little more niche in that. But my sassy answer is going to be, we have a talent show.
A talent show. Now, this isn't just you saying we've got a lot of talent at the event. This is an actual talent show.
So in the ending, since it's a virtual experience, I still want to have something fun, right? We don't have cocktail hour. We don't have that. So the ending on Friday the 13th at between 3 and 5 Central Time is going to be Happy Should Last More Than an Hour. And so, which we feel like, so people will be able to get together, kind of do some networking, some fun end of the day stuff. And we're inviting people to bring their crazy and silly talents, and we'll all vote, and someone will win an Oculus VR.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm sitting here racking my brain. Obviously, I'm going to be attending. I'm really excited to attend. I can juggle. I haven't necessarily shared that with our community yet. So I wonder if that's the place to unveil my juggling ability.
Sounds like that's the time to show it off.
Well, so Jen, in all seriousness though, as we talked about this event several months ago, mm-hmm. you know, as you described it to me, it definitely sounded like something that I wanted to be involved in, and really appreciate the fact that you're going to have me there and speaking and being able to share a little bit of my message. What was it about? Because obviously you hear my philosophies on my show and where I feel like the industry needs to be headed. What was it that made you decide, yeah, we ought to have Adam come in and be a key part of our speaker lineup?
Well, that's such an easy answer. You got to throw me tougher questions next. The easy answer there is, you know, like I said, I think you and I have been following each other for a long time too. And your whole piece on community shared values as a tourism marketing component just seemed like it was absolutely the must have at this conference.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. I last week on my show, I kind of unveiled every year I've got this tradition on my show of doing my New Year's resolutions for the industry. And I released my philosophy on owned media and podcasting for tourism destinations and why I feel like it's critical that every tourism destination take a look at this. And, you know, I'll be doing that session. And then, of course, I've got Jared Price, another really important and talented member of my organization, talking about the branding and community shared value side of things. It's something that I really appreciate having the platform to talk about. And it's something that, as far as disruption goes, I'm going to stick with your term that you've coined here. As far as that goes, I feel like there are very few destinations in the industry that have really embraced this concept of developing owned media and really diving in. I actually, if I saw this correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you are getting ready to launch your own show and you're going to be, developing your own platform to share your message on an ongoing basis. What made you decide that owned media and in the form of a podcast was something that you wanted to create?
Well, that's a great question. So that's a better one. That's a tougher one. I think the answer to that is I'm late to the game and I feel bad about that. I'm never late to the game, but with the podcasting, I am late to the game. I've had going to be straight up and very transparent like I am. I've had a couple of false starts in it. I couldn't get myself committed. And I just feel like, you know what, this is the year. It'll be called Tech, Travel, and Twang. Because it's going to be a little sassy, a little off the cuff, just straight up raw with some really good guests.
Awesome. So what kind of topics? I mean, you twang and travel, and what was the first one?
Tech.
So yeah. Are you feeling like you're going to be sharing kind of the full gamut, what technology is happening in the industry, maybe bring on an artist every once in a while to add the twang, or how's that going to go? What can people expect?
So what I think people can expect is it's two parts, you know, cold hard map, technology, travel, what's going on, what kind of innovations are out there. I'll have guests that are launching new tech or have launched new tech and how it benefits and helps the industry. And then I plan to get pretty tough and pretty raw with those questions. So the twang comes from the fact that I can't scrub off this East Texas accent. So I'm just going to lean into it.
I like it. I'm excited to hear that. When do you expect it to launch?
I'm going to drop it on my 49th birthday, February the 6th.
February the 6th. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, Jen, that's really exciting. I feel like this is an industry that's actually fairly underserved as far as education in the form of audio goes. Mm-hmm. And I think between you launching your podcast and putting on this event, I mean, I think you're going to provide some really valuable education for the industry.
I appreciate that. I really, that's my whole goal in this is, you know, I started when I was doing the conference circuit at a very young age. We mentioned DMAI and all those kind of guys, you know, that was my favorite part. My favorite part of the job, you know, that first agency I was at, I was under 30 years old before I was president of the agency, had a lot of amazing clients to work with, over 400 destinations. But my favorite part has always been the education with some inspiration. It shouldn't be boring. We don't want to sit in school and get lectured at. So
I like it.
And I think the podcast part, like I'm super excited about that session, as well as community shared value, because you're right. I think DMOs, it feels like one more thing too, and it's so hard. So I think if they really embrace how easy it is, and especially with what you guys have done, with DMP is going to be an amazing message.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm actually really excited that you and I are collaborating on a couple of podcasts for a couple of destinations that you work with as well. I don't know if we're in a position to announce which ones those are. I know we're still working out a few of the details.
Almost.
There. But I got to say, I'm really, really excited to launch a couple of those podcasts that we have in the queue, because I think it's just it's another step that I think the industry is taking, and more destinations embracing this concept of owned media.
Absolutely. Owned media is always, and it's always been something that I've talked about where it's at, you know, and social media is not owned media. So this is a better time to really think about reframing that and, you know, building those assets that make a lot of sense for DMOs.
Yeah. So actually your comment there, I want to dive in, because I've heard it both ways. I've heard people put social media under the owned media category. Mm-hmm. And then I also have heard a lot of people call it shared media, because you don't technically own the channel, right? And while I think there's an argument for both sides of
absolutely
that, the reason I've lumped it in with owned media, as far as I'm concerned, is because you still get the opportunity to control the message. The channel and distribution, you know, the social media companies still mm-hmm. have the ability to turn it off at any time, or suppress it, or whatever, if they wanted to. And so I can see why you can't technically call it owned media, but it sounds like you have an opinion on this, and I'd really like to hear it on why social media shouldn't be in the category of owned media.
Well, I like your explanation about how it goes. I think it's still shared media though, because I feel like a podcast is more owned media, because you do own all the assets, and you can to some level own certain pieces of the platform of it. But with social media, I just feel like it is a shared media. Your message and your content is owned, but if that turns off or goes away, then you don't really have a whole category to get back launched like you would a podcast or your own website.
So still a little bit beholden to the channel.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And by the way, everybody should quit Twitter by now. It's over. And it has nothing to do with the controversy. It's just like, that's been over for a while.
Well, so tell me about that. Tell me about Twitter being over, because that's a bold statement, I would say. And not that I feel like you're way off, but I'd like to hear your thought process around Twitter being over, especially as it pertains to our industry.
So I really think it's more about pertaining to the industry when it comes to this. Like if you're wanting to get out there and, you know, see the garbage pile that it is, or get into politics or something like that, it's still an active channel. But since it and honestly, you know, this is pre a couple of administrations ago, since politicians started coming into to Twitter, it really started changing like what it was about. So you're not finding your consumers, at least not from a positive perspective on that. It's a very negative platform, and has been for a decade. I think that's one of the issues, because that doesn't vibe with our industry, with who we're trying to attract in terms of good leisure travelers or meeting planners or group or any of that. Because there's also that kind of that conversation about having the right traveler come. So from that perspective, I like, and it, we talk about shared media, I still really love Pinterest for destinations almost above all. It's the happy place. It's the I'm going to dream and build a board.
It's place. Inspiration. Yeah, I agree with that. I want to respond to your thoughts on Twitter. I agree with you in many senses of what you said, because there's this, I actually was listening to a conversation, and I actually can't remember where it was. I think it was an interview on like the Lex Fridman podcast or something like that. But they were talking about how Twitter is not a representation of real life.
Yeah.
For example, the conversations that are happening on Twitter, you can walk up and down Main Street, and the reality is the majority of the people that you pass by are not having those conversations.
Yeah, they're
on Twitter,
not. They're
right?
Nice. Yeah.
And so I think from that perspective, I would agree with you. I think the place where I think Twitter has always had an interesting place is the immediacy of Twitter, the ability to release information quickly. In my mind, on Twitter has always been really valuable. And so, for example, if your destination has a press release that needs to go out, or if there's some immediate event information. So let's say weather has canceled an event that a lot of people were planning on. I would still release that on Twitter as part of my information distribution plan. I wouldn't, however, make marketing on Twitter a huge priority, or really, you know, posting these inspirational pictures of the destination and saying, here's a beautiful place in our area, would you like to come? Like that's not the strategy for Twitter, right?
Yeah, I like that distinction.
The other thing is, I think Twitter, if done correctly, snarkiness and humor can go a long way on Twitter. And so as a destination, if part of your brand values or brand voice include maybe some witty humor or something like that, there's been a few accounts that I think have done a really good job on Twitter of building their brand. There's actually in South Carolina, and I'm trying to remember the exact, I think it's the Emergency Preparedness Office of the state or something like that. And they've got a social media manager there that just posts really fun, entertaining and funny stuff. And it's about earthquake preparedness. You know what I mean? Like, you're laughing about what you're seeing about earthquake preparedness. And so I feel like if you're willing to have a little bit of creativity around some snarkiness and wittiness from your destination, if that matches your brand voice, I think there's still a place for that on Twitter as well. But those are the two situations that I believe, you know.
And I have to agree with those two, because the first one you describe is a push versus pull strategy. So if you've got to get that info out, it's done. That box is checked. That's great. The second scenario, when you're talking about like the brand banter or the Wendy's effect, if you will, because that blew up so big.
Yes. Wendy's is a great example.
Yeah. Then that's a great way to do it too. But those are rare, I would say. The secondary being rare, except for during the pandemic. I don't know if you remember, there was a security guard at a museum somewhere out where you guys were. Yes. Did you not love him?
Amazing.
And he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I posting this all right? Like, he did not know anything. So if you have a unique situation, it'll get out faster. Yes, through Twitter. But overall, I'm not recommending that as part of a major strategy.
Totally. And you mentioned Wendy's. Now that we're on the Twitter conversation, I think Wendy's is really worth discussing, because Wendy's, I wish their social media manager was their chief marketing officer, because if you look at their TV ads over the last 5 years, it's like, what are we doing? What's the strategy here? Who are we talking to? What do we want them to do? But then you get on social media and you see, especially on Twitter, that Wendy's has the snarkiest Twitter account of any brand that I'm aware of. And it's really helped build their popularity and their brand identity on social media. And I think they're a great example because of their willingness to say things that aren't necessarily safe for a brand to say on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But because it's part of the brand they've developed, they get away with it. And Twitter has become a very valuable platform for them because of that. So again, it's doing something different than what everyone's accustomed to.
Yeah.
And being willing to be creative and stand out. If you're doing the right thing for the audience, it doesn't matter what channel or platform, creativity will generate reach and interest.
Agree. Absolutely. I agree. What Wendy's did that's so brilliant is they go there without going over the line. So, you know, they've kind of made their whole thing about being sassy and, you know, that brand banter. And you'll see tons and tons of tweets that are at Wendy's, roast me. Like, people are begging the guys, just roast them.
And they do.
Oh, they do. They do. They do. But yeah, if everybody could have a Wendy's social media manager, everybody's stuff would be popping off, because that's just a brilliant.
Yep. Totally agree. Well, we've gotten a little off topic here, but I think these are the types of conversations that people can expect at Desticon next week, because we've got a lot of really interesting disruptors that are going to be speaking to the industry. So let's talk about how to learn about Desticon. How do people get information? How do people buy tickets? When is it happening? Give us kind of the things that every attendee or viewer needs to know.
Absolutely. So it's Desticon, DESTICON.US. And that'll take you to the event website, and you can look at the agenda, look through the speakers. Registration, thanks to some sponsorship, is actually free now. It starts on January the 12th, so make sure to get your tickets by January the 11th.
So this is really valuable content that is going to be released. There's some great speakers coming in, and it's all free. All you have to do is get a ticket and show up. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I say show up. You really just open the window on your computer, right?
You do. You do. I will say, somewhat appropriate or somewhat maybe not, pants are not required at this conference. Be on your computer.
Depending on the position of your camera. I think that's where I'll
leave
that.
Thank you for that, Adam. Thank you for that. But yeah, it is. We're lucky to have partnered with Excel Events. It's a great platform. There's lots of cool things you can do in there as an attendee too. You can chat, there's Q&As, there's polls, there's lounges. Like, definitely get your ticket as soon as you can so you can familiarize yourself with the platform, because it's a lot of fun. Not your grandma's webinar.
That's perfect. And all of that can be found at desticon.us.
Correct. Or you can find Destination Innovate on LinkedIn, and all the links are in there too.
And you're very active on LinkedIn. I would say if you want to follow Jen, LinkedIn is a great place to do it. Is your handle just Jennifer Barbie? Is that what people would search?
Yes. Just Jennifer Barbie.
And that's B-A-R-B-E-E, right?
That's right. Like the Viking.
Perfect. Jennifer, this has been a lot of fun. Is there anything about Desticon or you or your upcoming show that you're launching, anything that I haven't asked you about that you'd like everybody to be aware of?
Gosh, we've had such a great conversation. I love that we got off topic. That's when you know you've got two people in the room that have passion for the same thing. I love that we can go off of those tangents. And I think you'll see, like I said, a lot of that. And also the great thing about registering for DestCon, even if you aren't able to make it the 12th and 13th, by registering, then we can give you access to the entire event to play over again if you want, or on demand. It'll be streaming. DestCon Plus, I guess, like Disney Plus.
I like it. So, but what you're saying is, even if people don't have a chance to attend all the sessions that they would like to, they can go back and watch all of them after the fact if they get a ticket for free.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you have to lose?
Exactly. Sign up, show up, bring a talent.
I love it. Well, Jennifer, I'm really excited for the event next week, not only for the session that I'll be a part of, but also to watch and learn from the other amazing industry leaders that you've brought together. Congratulations on putting together a fantastic event, and I really appreciate you coming on and allowing us to be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Awesome. And for people to find you, LinkedIn, best way, or desticon.us and destinationinnovate.com?
.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah, but I hang out on LinkedIn a lot, so that's probably the best place to find me.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Jennifer, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Adam.
And everybody, go get your tickets for DestCon. And I really appreciate everybody listening. And if you enjoyed today's episode, again, guys, I'm getting used to this new wrap-up where I've got to mention all this stuff that I didn't used to mention. So be patient with me here. But if you want to follow us on social media, I want to remind you that on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, we are at @destination_pod. On YouTube, we're the Destination Marketing Podcast, and we have a LinkedIn group, Destination Marketers, that you're going to be seeing a lot of content in this year. And in fact, maybe we'll even be able to post a couple of links to the sessions of DestCon here. I'll ask Jen for permission on that one before I promise it, but more to come on that. And then, of course, wherever you're listening to podcasts, you can get the Destination Marketing Podcast. And if you're enjoying it, which again, we're on episode 230-something, you must be enjoying it if you're here. I hope you are. If so, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. It really does help us continue to grow and bring the show on a weekly basis and bring you amazing guests like Jen. Thanks everybody for listening, and have a great week.